so much, Big Herc, this week. Adam Azer here with Michael Hercom. Al Melchior is coming in just a bit. Scott White's out today, so what's up, Herc?
Yo, I feel like it's Thursday. Like, you know, I should just take Friday off, but it's actually Wednesday. It's moved up a day.
You can take... just take
just
a three-day week.
All right, there we go.
All right, we're going to talk about a lot today. Troy Tulowitzki, Chase Headley, Jimmy Rollins is a top-four shortstop. We'll grade some trades. Email us fantasy... fantasybaseball@cbsi.com and put baseball podcast in the subject line. There is no video show today, no fantasy baseball today. Instead, tune into the website at noon Eastern for fantasy football today. We are airing our show, the one we did at Hooters, so you get to see Hooters girls and me, Dave, and Jamie.
Yes.
Not sure what you're more excited about. All of it should be good. I don't want to talk about the big stuff until Al gets here, so... let's go to the injuries, news, and notes and just get some stuff out of the way, okay?
All right.
Toronto called up pitching prospect Aaron Sanchez and DFA'd Brad Mills. He's going to pitch out of the bullpen, right, Aaron Sanchez?
Yeah, that's correct. And they want to say they said that they're going to try and limit it, his innings around 130, which was my concern coming into the year because he hasn't logged that many innings. So I figured he wasn't going to get a shot to be in the rotation this year.
Giovanni Soto on the DL with a groin injury. So now, who would you go with, Chirinos or Aaron Sibbia?
Oh, that's a good one. I think I'll still go with Aaron Sibbia.
John Heyman reporting that St. Louis continues to monitor Jake Peavy and that Toronto is interested in Alex Rios. Pedro Alvarez left yesterday's game with knee discomfort. He was replaced by Josh Harrison. And Starling Marte was out again with Travis Snyder starting and batting second for Pittsburgh. So another guy gets hurt.
What do you think of the Jake Peavy news? If he returns, goes to the NL, do you think it's going to... I mean, most of those guys, they usually see like a 1 point shaved off their ERA when they switch leagues.
No, I don't know about one full point.
It's usually about
one point, isn't it, Al?
Yeah, like...
No, I think Peavy will get a point shaved off his ERA from like 4.50 to 4.49.
Oh, like a hundredth of a point.
Yeah.
No, it's not that drastic, I don't think, Herc, to go down a point.
But that news is very interesting because of Michael Wacha. And now, you know, the earlier report was he was going to be out to early September. Now Wacha himself isn't sure if he's going to pitch again this season. So that leaves fantasy owners. Again, if you're like fighting for a playoff spot, I mean, you don't want to drop Wacha and give a potential ace to maybe the guy who's leading the league or something like that. But if you're desperate and you need the roster spot and you have no DL spot, you may have to consider giving up Wacha if his season's in jeopardy.
Well, now that Al's here, and how you doing, Al?
Good, thank you.
Okay. What are you going to do from 12 to 1:15 today since you don't have a video show?
I'm going to sit at my cube and just dispense fancy advice to anybody who will listen.
I could use some.
Yeah, I'll be
all right, come on over.
Let's talk about the big news. Troy Tulowitzki's on the DL. It seemed inevitable. Left hip flexor strain. And I thought what was very interesting about this news was that apparently this is related to a 2008 injury where he tore his left quad tendon. And his leg injuries have been related to that. So it's like this injury in 2008 has really hampered his career, at least his durability. Games played, including 2008, since that year. 101, 151, 122, 143, 47, and 126 last year. Right now, Tulowitzki is the number one shortstop. So is it worth it, you know, in retrospect, drafting Troy Tulowitzki?
I think it's absolutely worth it. In retrospect, though, how many questions? I know I got a lot, Al, about, you know, is this the time to trade Tulowitzki? Because everyone was worried about that injury coming because he's just can't seem to stay off the DL.
It's the worst time to trade him, don't you think?
I said never trade him unless you get, you know, absolutely, you know, hands down good trade. I would be willing to take the risk with the injury, knowing what, you know, he does at first base. And Adam put here he was the number one fantasy shortstop in 2009, 2010, mm-hmm. and 2011.
Yeah, but it hasn't been that case in 2012 when he only played 46 games. In 2013, when he played 126. I mean, I remember struggling with that last year. It was like he got hurt, and I was mad at myself for drafting him in the second round last year. But I think it probably ended up paying off. So, I mean... don't know how long he's going to be out, but you guys think how many games from Troy Tulowitzki do you need to get in order to justify taking him in the first round?
I think 120.
That's it. The problem is, like, if it were an outfielder who got hurt, you go to the waiver wire, you get a good player.
Yeah.
It's a shortstop, you go to the waiver wire, you have to maybe get Brad Miller.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or in a deeper league,
I mean,
Jordy Mercer, if you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're in a shallow league, Jed Lowry's still, I believe, like only 73, 75% owned. That's a really good replacement if you can pick him up off waivers.
Yeah, probably the best replacement you're going
to
find.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, he's not easy to replace.
Exactly.
So, it's annoying. This is why I don't like taking him in the first round. I'll take him in the second round, but...
Just the problem is, in a lot of leagues, it's too late.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that I'm going to regret it. This is why I wanted Ian Desmond.
You know? Well, no, I mean,
he's had a surprising year. More power than he used to have. Worse batting average and fewer steals for now.
But even with the batting average, I get that. I mean, he's kind of the Adam Jones of shortstops. He's really unique in terms of his durability and the power and run production he gives you.
And he was probably, like, what, a fourth-round pick?
That sounds about right, yeah.
All right, so Tulo in the first or Desmond in the fourth? Next year, what are you doing?
I have no hesitation taking Tulo in the first. I mean, look what he did up until this point. And you know what? I know more about – we got 2 months maybe in the fantasy season left that, I mean, you don't have your best player, but – you know, he got you this far, and you're probably in pretty good position because of Tulo.
The later I'm picking in the first round, the more likely it is I'm taking Tulo. Because we did the exercise on Fantasy Baseball Today a couple days ago where we just top of mind threw out, you know, 12 names. And it was hard to do that after the first six or seven.
It is, yeah.
So, yeah, okay, I'm in spot eight or nine, and I'm taking some guy that I'm not even sure is a first rounder versus taking the risk with Tulo, you know. I could see taking Tulo there instead of waiting on Desmond.
Okay, San Diego traded Chase Headley, who is 55% owned, to the Yankees, along with some cash. They got back Yanhervis Solarte and minor league starting pitcher Rafael DePaula. Chase Headley. Now, Brian Cashman talked about how Headley had been playing better since he got an epidural in his back. And also he changed his grip recently. We've talked about that. He did have a walk-off single in the 14th inning, didn't start yesterday, but came in as a pinch hitter, and is batting .319 in July with no walks and 17 strikeouts. That's, wow. Not going to hit .319 with that kind of ratio. Anyway, Chase Headley, value up, down, or the same?
I think slightly up. Well, up enough that he needs to be active in roto leagues now, standard mixed roto leagues.
Yeah, without bad third bases, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Headley or... Nolan Arenado.
Arenado.
Headley or Josh Harrison?
I'll say Headley.
Same here.
Headley or Bogarts?
Xander zone.
You're in the Xander zone?
It was in my weekly waiver wire. Check it out. And the three singles were encouraging. He's been not striking out as much as he was earlier. Listen, this guy has hit at every Bogarts, has hit at every stop of the way. And all I talk about is just sky-high potential. He's bottomed out. I mean, he hit like 111 from June 8th to July 20th or whatever. I mean, he can't get any lower. Now it's just, now's the time to buy into Bogarts because the roller coaster ride is, going up.
I'll give Headley the slight edge here. I mean, they're about as closely ranked together. I don't have them next to each other, but I should.
Well, all you have is, you have Bogarts, Prado, Headley.
Yeah, I probably will drop. Well, I'll figure out. They'll be next to each other because it's practically a toss up for me. Both have very nice upside.
Yeah, and while
I'll go Headley though.
I don't particularly agree with you guys about Bogarts this year, but you guys are the analysts, so say that Bogarts could be a good Troy Tulowitzki replacement.
Do you know what the scouting report on Bogarts has been? Is that sliders and inside curveballs have been getting to him, and he's trying to pull everything. So he's been working on his – when he succeeded in the minors, it was hitting tall fields. And he's been putting in a lot of work to get back to that hitter, and was starting to see some of the results. So I think, you know, again – and in September, when all these AAA pitchers come in, that's going to be in his wheelhouse.
I'll go back to the same two arguments I keep making. What is he going to get back to? He was a solid player but wasn't a great fantasy option earlier this year. I just don't think this is his year. He's young. And number two, I worry about his playing time now. With Holt, with Drew hitting a little bit better now. You know, with Victorino back, I'm just saying maybe he plays 5 out of 7 games.
Yeah, I know. They seem pretty committed to giving him regular playing time.
Well, they sat him, I think, a few days ago.
They did. But I mean, you said you might worry. They were the use committed.
Semi-regularly. He's
going
to play mostly regularly, but it's not going to be an everyday thing. I think there's going to be a day or two here or there.
Yeah, a day or two here or there. I don't think it's going to affect his value. Look, they're both risky. That's why I say I really value them similarly, because I worry that Bogaerts isn't going to reach his upside, and I worry that Headley's back is never really going to be right.
Sure.
How about the rest of the trade, Solarte and DePaula? Anything here?
I mean, DePaula's a nice Dynasty League option.
I own him in our Dynasty League.
Yeah? Well, congratulations.
I drafted him a few years ago.
Coming up to much better park when he does come up. So that's nice. And Solarte, I mean, at least now he seems certain to get regular playing time. And I felt like the Yankees pulled the plug on him a little prematurely.
The Angels said they won't limit Garrett Richards' workload. Ryan Zimmerman left yesterday's game with a hamstring strain. This guy already missed 44 games with a thumb injury. So I'm guessing Danny Espinoza could be someone to have on your radar if you just want some at-bats. Emilio Bonifacio is off the DL. He is 43% owned. How's that ownership rate look to you?
I don't know, but every time I do an Emilio Bonifacio update at my desk, I scream, Emilio!
I think we all scream it, you know, internally.
Yeah.
I actually do it out loud, so yeah.
43%. Now you can answer the question for real, Herc. How does that ownership sound to you for Bonifacio?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they DFA Darwin Barney, so the playing time, you know, situation's going to be fine for him and Alcantara, in my opinion. He got off to this great start, and then he came back to the level we expected Bonifacio to be at. Maybe I could see it going over 50% now that he's back and he's got all this position eligibility. But, you know, I don't think that 43% is outrageous.
So Alcantara, better option in fantasy than Bonifacio?
I think so. He'll give you some steals. Maybe not as many as Bonifacio, but with a lot more power.
And he homered last night. There you go.
Yeah.
So. There it is.
How about Jerod Dyson or Bonifacio? Lorenzo Cain's been slumping.
Yep.
And Dyson's been getting some ABs. He let off yesterday.
Isn't there somebody on Twitter that always like trolls us about Dyson and picking him up? Or
not
is it Kane?
Maybe Kane.
Maybe it's Kane.
Maybe you just get trolled. It's Dyson or Bonifacio?
Dyson.
Maybe Bonifacio just for the multiple position eligibility.
Let's move on. Promotion of the day. It was Greek Heritage Night in Chicago. At U.S. Cellular Field. That's the name of their ballpark, right?
Yes.
And on Greek Heritage Night, they forgot Mike Moustakas plays for the Royals, and he hit two home runs. 3-for-5 with two homers. Does this move the needle for you at all with Moustakas?
It actually did.
Really?
I mean, not so much that a two-homer game, but it kind of woke me up. Because I think on this very podcast a couple days ago, I said, I'm so tired of waiting for Moustakas to deliver on his potential. And then I went and looked. I said, okay. That's a nice game, and the batting average is a little higher than it was, you know, a few games
it's
previously.
It's 198 now.
Well, it's higher than it was.
Yeah. All right. Moustakas homered in consecutive games, I think the 4th and the 5th of July, and then he had 5 hits in his next 9 games. So, really moving the needle for you, Al?
Well.
Waking you up?
I don't think that's, like, outrageous praise for him. I'm saying it just took a second look at the guy and said, yeah, he's played better lately.
Not really.
Well, I don't know, month of July. I mean, yeah, if you could look at the games immediately preceding this, but if you look at the last month or this calendar month.
Yeah, I mean, okay, fine. So four home runs.
I mean, I think it was like a .263 average, which from him you will more than take. You know, what's the power?
All right.
Now I want you to get one of those applauso meters and put in here so like we can see like move the needle like.
We have enough O-meters on this podcast. Here's your stat of the day. Mike Minor allowed 10 or more hits for the 5th time this year, 7th time in his 5 seasons. So it's happened 7 times and 5 times this year, and that's from the Associated Press. So yesterday, Mike Minor, 3 innings, 10 hits, 6 runs, 2 walks, and a strikeout. His ERA is 5.32. His whip is 1.575 after 2 really good whip years, 1.15 and 1.09. He's giving up 11.5 hits per 9. I feel like Al's looking for an applause-o-meter app on his phone. Can you confirm?
No, I can confirm that I'm actually looking at those Moustakas splits to make sure that I'm not crazy.
Oh, okay, okay. You
Should
never
you
know.
Use your laptop? He has a laptop and he's using his phone.
Yeah, what's going on? That's why I thought he must have been looking up some type of app. Okay, anyway, who's worried about Mike Minor?
Freddy Gonzalez. I could not believe it. He kissed a death. He said, I am concerned about Mike Minor. Minor said after his start last night that he felt good in the bullpen, and then he just came out and he said he was aiming. You don't want to hear a pitcher say he's aiming. You want to just hear he's pitching. He said he was a little bit rustier than he expected. Not a really good report. He seems more upbeat than Freddy Gonzalez does. He had a shoulder injury, and that's a serious ailment for a pitcher. Maybe he needed the spring training, and he's just still in that mode where he's trying to get ready and. So, yes, I am concerned.
Yeah. All right, fine. Let's get an odometer out.
the worry one?
0 to 10. We're not going to drop him. So 0 to 10 on the worryometer. 10 is a sit for Minor.
Yeah, he's up to an 8 for me.
Yeah, I'm just going to say 7.
I kind of just get the sense that I just feel like in the off season we might hear like, well, he never was 100% after that, spring training setback.
Yeah.
It just could be one of those years. I hope not.
I just wish that he would improve so we don't have to keep thinking about the injury and everything that led up to it.
You mean the first injury?
The first injury,
yeah, okay,
yes.
Yeah, all right. We don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Not the second injury, the first injury.
What was the first injury?
We'll discuss after this.
You can Google it.
Yeah. I have the worst memory. All right, quote of the day. It's from Buck Showalter. So far, Zach's done a good job, but who knows? We might need Tommy to go back there again. I don't know if anybody's smart enough to know exactly how things are going to turn out, but so far, so good. Does that mean anything to you, talking about Zach Britton and Tommy Hunter?
It means I don't know what the heck Buck Showalter's talking about.
Yeah, well, Hunter has been pretty good as a setup man, but Britton's been just fine.
It sounds like he's hedging his bets in case Britton has a bad stretch that he said, oh, look, I told you I'd go back to Tommy Hunter if I had to.
You know what this tells me? Tommy Hunter doesn't like being a setup man. He needs to be placated. That's what this sounds like.
All right, so we won't make much of it, if nothing of it. Okay, more news and notes. Ubaldo Jimenez could begin a minor league rehab assignment soon. Kyle Gibson will miss today's start with a stiff back, and Anthony Swarzak will replace him. Alex Rios could be back today. George Springer was out again with knee and quad soreness. Ben Revere started. He led off. He went 3 for 6 with 2 steals against San Francisco. It was actually Dominic Brown who sat with Sizemore still in the lineup. Hanley Ramirez and Yasiel Puig were out again. Justin Turner and Carl Crawford were in. Dustin Pedroia, 0 for his last 17. Worryometer, 10's a sit. Pedroia.
That's a good one. I'm going to go with a 5 there.
7.
All
right. Hey, all right. Interesting. 2 more hits, 2 more runs for Austin Jackson. Rajay Davis sat with a righty on the mound. Jackson, Hunter, and J.D. Martinez were in the outfield. Again, they were in NL Park, so you had Victor Martinez at first and Miguel Cabrera at third. Jose Altuve caught stealing last night. 28 straight successful stolen base attempts before that. Josh Reddick came off the DL. He didn't start. And Steven Vogt has a foot injury that's preventing him from catching right now.
And they were facing a lefty, so they had Craig Gentry in there and... I know all sorts of people that you don't normally see.
Alan Craig started consecutive games. No, they weren't facing a lefty.
No?
No, it was Miguel Gonzalez.
Oh, well,
John Jaso sat, I believe.
They're like the Cardinals of the American League. You just don't know
It was a versus lefty-like lineup. I guess that's what fooled me.
Yeah, maybe. They were throwing a lefty, Scott Kazmir.
Yeah, that's it.
There it is.
I'm sure Bob Melvin.
It was
just
a lefty in that
Bob
game.
Bob Melvin just got confused.
Well, we're starting Kazmir tonight, so we gotta put some runners in there. Alan Craig started consecutive games for the first time since July 5th. He went 0-for-3 with a walk and 2 strikeouts, and Oscar Taveras sat and pinch hit. Eric Hosmer sat, could be back today. Jose Abreu sat, could be back today. Tommy La Stella batted second again. And went 1-for-4, and Andrelton Simmons went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, batting 8th.
Did you see the retweet where I tagged you yesterday?
Yeah, yeah. So who said that Freddy Gonzalez likes La Stella batting 2nd?
Dave O'Brien, and there was actually a link to a column that I did not include in that retweet because I just didn't want to get you even more fired up.
Yeah.
Actually, I did.
That's stupid.
Who told you about Andrelton Simmons that wasn't going to last? This guy.
Good for you. Scooter Gennett is day-to-day with quad tightness, and Eric Ibar returned. Okay, we're done there. So let's talk about this group of fringy starting pitchers. And we've been, you know, talking about difference makers and who could make a difference for your fantasy team. Jake Odorizzi, kind of interesting. Last eight starts, he's got a 4-2 record and at a 2.39 ERA. With only four quality starts because he's failed to pitch six innings in four out of those eight. But he's a top 16 starting pitcher in that stretch. Jacob deGrom had another great start. Seven innings, five hits, one run, one walk, seven Ks at Seattle. And he's given up two earned runs with well over a strikeout per inning over his last three starts. Jimmy Nelson, six innings, four hits, three runs, one walk, and five strikeouts. And I threw Jake Peavy in there just because he's owned in the same amount of leagues as Jimmy Nelson. Odorizzi, DeGrom, Nelson, and Peavy, who could be a difference maker for you?
Actually, I think all but Peavy.
How would you rank them?
Eggs.
Odorizzi.
Nelson, DeGrom.
You know what? That's the same way I'd rank them, too. DeGrom's at the bottom of the list for me for the fact that, again, Seattle strikes out a lot. And they don't hit for average, and they don't have a very good slugging percentage as a team, yet they're in the pennant race. He's faced Miami twice, he's faced Atlanta twice, he's faced the Pirates, who strike out a lot. I don't think the strikeout rate's going to continue. I think he can be a good arm, a decent whip, decent ERA guy, but I think right now it's like the sell high point for Jacob deGrom.
Could be, and I was really encouraged by this start because even though the Mariners are not a great contact hitting team, yeah. I think they're actually the best one. He's faced it a while.
All right.
And then I think he's got the Brewers this weekend.
I think you're correct. Yes, that is correct.
You can confirm that.
I believe that is correct.
So he'll get another team that doesn't make much contact.
Yeah. But I'm with you. I think Odorizzi's the guy, and I think Nelson's, because what he did in the minors and his track record's way better than DeGrom's, I would go with the upside there.
Wow, I just realized something.
That's the first time Al and I agreed on something in like eight podcasts?
It's the second day in a row I've done this. I totally forgot to go over a game for the notes. Yesterday I left out the Dodgers Pirates, and you know what I left out today? We should have been talking about him 20 minutes
ago. Oh, Salazar?
Yeah.
Oh,
I thought you were just saving him up.
Building
excitement.
Let me pull up the box score. I actually watched a decent amount of this one.
One run, six innings, six strikeouts.
How many walks?
Three walks.
I know he walked the bases loaded in one inning.
Yeah, all in a row.
Yeah.
But see, it was good. It was a good start.
See, that was my biggest thing about Salazar while he looks up the stats. You know, coming into the start, in his last two minor league starts, he walked 11 batters. But I think he only gave up two earned runs because he wasn't giving up hits. Mm-hmm. And in July, he had 17 walks and 14 and two-thirds innings at AAA. I was like, oh, can the guy who walks this many batters really succeed in the majors? Mm-hmm. But it just seems maybe it doesn't matter for Danny Salazar. Maybe he's got enough stuff to work out of these jams. It doesn't matter.
But we've seen him blow up and get into trouble. And he was kind of lucky in this one because I think he was one out when he walked the three in a row, and they had Sam Fold and – I think it was the second pitch to him was clearly high, and it was a called strike.
Okay,
and it really kind of turned around the inning for him. I think it could have been very ugly.
Right.
So he was skating on a very thin margin and got a little bit of help from the umpire there. And the other thing too is that because he's a fly ball pitcher, I'm sure you noticed in the start a lot of foul balls.
Okay,
so his pitch count. He left the second inning with, I think, almost 50 pitches.
Yeah, that's one concern I have. Is he going to be able to pitch deep into games? 92 pitches in five innings for Danny Salazar. Six hits, one run, three walks, and six strikeouts at the Twins. And I did kind of get the sense that, like his stuff was impressive, and his fastball was 96 probably pretty consistently. But I felt like a better lineup probably would have – it wouldn't have been that good of a start.
I don't know
if he would have gotten crushed.
That's what I was thinking, absolutely.
That said, how would you put him with Odorizzi, Nelson, DeGrom?
I'll still rank him ahead of those guys. And here's the thing, because while that second inning was really scary and it could have been a disaster, he did work his way out of it. He had filthy stuff, mm-hmm. and he looked great otherwise.
Sure.
So, just based on that potential, I'm still not 100% certain that that's – you're going to see that version of him more consistently going forward. But because you might, I'll put him first.
Odorizzi is still the guy for me on this list, but between Nelson and Salazar, if you want to choose either one of those guys, I'm fine with it. But I do have my concerns about Danny Salazar. So
I'm trying to look up something on Odorizzi, so I'll do that as we transition to our next category here. We're going to grade some trades in just a second. And later on in the podcast, Jimmy Rollins, top four shortstop, Neil Walker having a big-time year, Aaron Hill's heating up, Chris Carter is the number two first baseman in Roto Leagues over the last 21 days, and then Adrian Beltre and David Wright are cold, Josh Beckett came back last night, Homer Bailey is weird, and Tim Lincecum got a save.
That's not nice.
All right, studs being studs. You know, there really was a lot to go over from yesterday's games. Jonathan Lucroy homered twice. He was 21 for his last 105. Anthony Rizzo homered twice, and he is the number three first baseman in points leagues and number five in Roto. And, yeah, was it on this podcast yesterday we were talking about him being a first-round pick next year? And you guys are like, nah, second-round pick. Which I probably agree with, but
he's probably in that group you were talking about at the end of the first round that, you know, if Tulo's there, it could be that group where, hey, maybe you take a chance on Anthony.
Well, I think that's how it was on Fantasy Baseball Today where we went, nah, second round pick.
No, I think it was on this show.
Okay,
we were talking, we were comparing him to Abreu, and I don't think he's that much different than Abreu. I mean, I'm sure Abreu's going to hit more home runs, but how many more? I mean, Rizzo's awesome. Rizzo's got 25 homers, and Abreu has, what, 29? Now, Abreu did have a DL stint.
And let's look ahead when he has Chris Bryant as lineup protection.
And he's just getting better. He's young. He's about to hit his prime. Like, he could be an absolute stud.
He could be, or he could, you know, he could regress because he's been really inconsistent so far, and he's had stretches, probably not where he hasn't looked this good. But I just worry that it's going to be, you know, a step forward, a step back, a step, you know, forward.
The Hosmer route.
Well, you know, on a higher plane, yeah.
I like what he's done against lefties this year, and you're absolutely right. Next year he could be terrible against lefties. It could be that way. First base is so deep, though. I mean, unless you go, you get the Goldschmidts of the world and the Encarnaciones, you know, who are definite first-rounders. I mean, you can sit there and wait for a little bit and get a good first-round first base value.
Yeah, see, that is true. However, you don't want to pass up on some of the best players in baseball because they play first base.
That's correct.
Same with outfield.
I've seen some people, I think it was Chris Swick in one of our drafts, went Joey Votto and Edwin Encarnacion as his first two picks.
So, yeah,
I
mean, he did it first, 12 and 13 swing picks. Yeah, which was interesting.
Should trademark that.
That I didn't like that, though.
Well, especially I think there was still really good starting pitchers out there. Not Kershaw, but I think Scherzer was there, and I think that would have been a good 13th pick or whatever. So,
all right. So Lucroy homered twice, Rizzo homered twice. Buster Posey is now the number two catcher in fantasy, number three in Roto behind Lucroy and Mesoraco. But Posey's been hot, and he went 4 for 7 with a home run and two doubles. And David Ortiz homered and doubled, and he's hotter than Jamaica in August, in his words. So, anything to say here, Lucroy, Rizzo, Posey, Ortiz?
Well, you know, since there's a catchery theme going on here, you think Carlos Santana's a stud, being a stud?
No, he homered yesterday, too. And, now, he's not in
doubled.
These notes because I forgot about that game. But I did just see that he homered and doubled yesterday, you said?
Yeah. And he actually had not been hitting as well as I thought because he had gotten on a hot streak in June.
Doubled twice.
But, twice.
Yeah, three hits.
So extra studly.
Mm-hmm. Four hits. Oh, crap. 4 for 5 with two doubles and a homer. Go on, Al.
Yeah, that's a stud performance. I still like him best rest of the season in points leagues.
Nice.
Really?
Adam was really excited about the Chase Headley walk-off single, so he was watching that game.
I watched it until the end of the 12th.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's when Headley grounded out to end the inning with the bases loaded. Yeah. Might have been the 11th.
What number did he end up picking?
You were 12. You were cursing the trade.
And I said, that's it. I'm done. I said, they're going to lose, and I don't want to stay up for it. So I was very pleased when I turned on the TV this morning. I saw the highlight. And they were down. They went down 1-0, and they came back. All right, anyway, whatever. Nobody cares. Grade the trade. Let's do this here from Podcast League Zach, who is losing to Adam this week. You really should say getting your butt handed to you by Adam this week, Podcast League Zach.
He didn't want to get bleeped.
Dear, all right, I got to say, there are so many greetings in today's Grade the Trade batch that I just don't know, including this one. Dear Swihart, Betts, and Owens?
Oh, you got
come
it.
Come on, you know this one. I even know this one.
Are these Mookies?
Well, Mr. Prospects guy definitely knows it.
They're all elite Red Sox prospects.
Oh, I don't know who Swihart is.
Blake.
And I've heard it pronounced Sweetheart, which would be cool if it's actually pronounced that way.
He's a catcher prospect. Mookie Betts, you know. And Henry Owens.
Henry Owens, I know, yeah.
Is top pitching prospect.
I'm in first place, going for the win this year by selling some potential keepers. Our trade deadline was noon last Friday. And there's always several trades in our keeper league on the last day, so I joined in the fun. 12-team roto league. Garrett, I give up $4 Garrett Richards out of a $275 budget. $4 Garrett Richards, $9 Matt Carpenter, and a $4 DeGrom to get Ian Kinsler, Alex Rios, and Gio Gonzalez, all too expensive to keep. So gave up Richards, Carpenter, DeGrom for very affordable numbers next year for Kinsler, Rios, and Gio.
I mean, in some regard, I love fantasy owners that just go for it. And, you know, because you don't know what's going to happen next year. If you can win now, win now. So, yeah, this is a decent trade. Heck, you gave up a lot of value in Carpenter and Richards. I'll give it a B. I think it's a decent trade.
I'll go B minus. Mostly just because that's some nice keeper value for Richards that you're losing out on. And I guess it's a second base upgrade.
Sure.
From Carpenter to Kinsler. So I'll go be honest.
All right, next up we have Sean in Portland, Oregon. Dear Sam, Bill, and Neil.
See, when I see Neil, I just immediately think it's a Rush one, but there's no Sam or Bill in Rush, so...
Sam Young, Bill Young, and Neil Young.
Are you a Rush
Gotta
fan now?
Got three people.
Nah, not really.
Okay.
First in saves in my 10-team 5x5 mixed roto league. I give Alan Craig and Casey Jansen. I get Shin-Soo Chu, and I use the open roster spot to pick up Joaquin Benoit.
10-team league, I like this a lot.
Yes, same here.
B plus.
Yeah, I don't want to trade for Chu, but giving up Craig and Jansen.
Nothing you need in a 10-team league.
Yeah. Here's one from Scott. Oh, wait. I got to look up Sam, Bill, and Neil. All right. Here's one from Scott, though. 12-team head-to-head points. I give Garza, Freeman, and Pence. I get Trout, Chris Davis with a C, and Anibal Sanchez.
I just want to say it's nice that Scott White writes into the show, even
I was
though he can't
say
be here,
out,
you know?
Yeah. Great minds think alike.
All right. Go ahead, Al. Hurt. I'll let you take the honors here.
Okay.
Let me read it again. Giving up Garza, Freeman, and Pence, getting Trout, Chris Davis with a C, and Anibal Sanchez.
B plus.
Yeah.
It's an A.
Yeah. It's a good trade.
And that's Freaks and Geeks, by the way. Sam, Bill, and Neil. Evan from Massachusetts here. Last night I traded Victor Martinez, Charlie Blackman, and Alcides Escobar for Jacoby Ellsbury, Mike Napoli, and Coco Crisp.
I just realized you tried an accent there.
Yeah, but it wasn't a Massachusetts accent.
No, it wasn't.
Something. So he gave up V-Mart, Blackman, and Escobar. He got back Ellsbury, Napoli, and Crisp. He needs walks and steals.
Well, then he did very well for himself.
Yeah, I think that's a good trade.
That's, is a B+.
No, I don't have complaints with that.
Well, speak up. I mean, you both have to grade it.
Oh, all right. Let's go with. He needs walks and stolen bases. I think V-Mart's just having a heck of a year, but I'll give it a B.
All right. Next up, Howie from New York City. Jason, Paul, and Bill.
See, when I see Paul, I think it's the Beatles. But there's no Jason or Bill in the Beatles.
No, there's not. You really should focus on more than just one name out of three. I have no idea who Jason Paul is.
I love how Al delivers that all the time.
Grade the trade, 10-team, 5x5 Roto Dynasty League. I can keep Upton and Craig for $18 out of 260. $18 each out of 260. Ross and Gallardo are not keepable. So I gave up Tyson Ross and Alan Craig. I got Justin Upton and Yovani Gallardo. So one keeper for $18 on each side and one non-keeper. Again, he gave up Tyson Ross and Alan Craig. He got Justin Upton and Yovani Gallardo.
I'm going to give that a B because I like the Upton Gallardo side.
I'm going to give it a C+. I feel like it's pretty even. The Ross Upton exchange, the Craig Gallardo exchange. I like Gallardo a little better than Craig.
I thought you were going to say BJ Upton because you just put Upton first.
No. From Owen in Chester, Virginia. Dear Schilling, Finley, and Harnish.
Kurtz. All right.
Can you grade the trade? 10 like team.
Kurt Pete Harnish?
Yeah. 10 team 6x6 Roto League, OPS, and strikeout to walks are the extra categories. Giving up Trevor Rosenthal and Corey Dickerson. Getting back George Springer and Garrett Cole. And he does not need the closers. So he gives up Rosenthal and Dickerson, gets back Springer and Cole.
I'll give it a B.
Minus.
Kobe from Pennsylvania. I give Bumgarner, Lester, and Gio. Ooh. I get Darvish, Sale, and Frieri, who I dropped to pick up Tyson Ross. So Bumgarner, Lester, and Gio for Darvish, Sale, and Frieri.
I mean, do you get an A because it's an even trade? I mean, it's really
no, that's
even.
A C.
Oh, okay.
What school did you go to?
He hasn't been on grade the trade.
Yeah, I know. It's like rookie. Like, this might. Like, I just made a rookie mistake.
So. Yeah, it was all pretty right. bad.
I'll
that
be on
F.
the bench next game.
Grade the grade. I'm giving it a B.
Yeah, I don't think it's an even trade. I think it's a win.
It's a definite win.
A slight win. It's not like B is the greatest thing ever.
I think he.
I mean, I listen.
He upgrades all three pitchers.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, Tyson Ross is better than who?
I was going to say Gio. I mean, I actually have Gio a little ahead.
Yeah, you better. What's wrong with Gio? Gio's the man.
Yeah, I mean.
The only problem with Tyson Ross is that he's a Padre.
Which is still a problem.
Yeah.
No, Tyson Ross is very good, but as a Tyson Ross owner, I fear he has overperformed a little bit.
But you know what? I keep reading quotes about what his pitching coach and his manager saying. He's saying he's just locked in, and he's just coming into his own as a pitcher. I wouldn't call over he's overperformed for where we expected him to be, but I don't think it's outrageous to think that he can't continue to do what he's doing.
No, I mean
you lied.
No, I didn't say that. Sorry. What's his ERA? It's under 3, right?
Yeah, he's been pitching really good. I mean, listen, I would rather have Darvish, Sale, and Ross, too.
He's 270 ERA. I'm just saying he could be 330 rest of season. Not good. No, but Gio's awesome. Gio's
that's what I'm saying. Like,
well, that's about what I expect from Gio is a low threes ERA.
I don't think either owner really got hosed in this deal.
No, I wouldn't say that. No.
Yeah.
No.
All right, well, just to sum up, I mean, I think the Ross-Gio part's pretty even, and I would rather have Darvish and Sale than Mad Bum and Lester, like a lot more.
Right. One more from Justin. I play in a head-to-head categories league, your least favorite type of scoring. That's actually not true for me. It's true for Al.
Totally true for me.
Herc, where are you on that?
Points is mine. I'm the points guy. People get upset at me because that's all I talk about.
I wanted to see if I could get a grade for this trade. Giving up Donaldson and Qualls, getting Altuve and Kenley Jansen.
I'll give that a B, too.
Donaldson and Qualls, and he gets Altuve and Jansen. Yeah, I mean, how about a B+, because Altuve and Jansen are good pickups.
4 up, 2 down. Let's go to 4 up. Number 1 is Jimmy Rollins. Homered again yesterday, batting .243, 13 homers, 45 RBI, 51 runs, 19 steals, and he is the number 3 shortstop in points leagues, number 4 in Roto. And I looked at his 2011 season, which was a similar slash line. Better batting average, but slugging and on base were pretty similar. He stole 30 bases. He's got 19 this year. He hit 16 home runs. He's got 13 this year already. Finished as a top 7 shortstop. I don't know. I mean, I feel like looking back, I can't say I made the wrong decision. I wasn't expecting this, but one of my big regrets was dropping Rollins earlier in the year. I just didn't think he would be good. But
yeah, well, shortstop hasn't been very good fantasy position this year, so.
No, but I mean, he is a top 4 shortstop, as mentioned. What do you guys make of that?
Well, I'm just still suspicious because, you know, you said that, well, this was 3 years ago, and
But it wasn't his best year. I was just looking at a similar year. I mean, 2 years ago, he hit, like, 23 home runs.
Okay, well, I get your point. I think I maybe was confusing it with that season then. Yeah, I just admit, I'm very suspicious of Rollins because of his age and
absolutely.
And the year-to-year inconsistency.
It's almost so like you were talking, was it on Monday's show, we were talking about Torrey Hunter and how Torrey Hunter started slow, and then he's just come on, and is it just going to matter? Torrey Hunter is going to be 49 years old and still producing, and we're just going to say, well, concerned about his age, but it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But Troy Hawkins, I mean, look at him. I mean, you know, again, he's just producing, and he's 41 years old, so.
All right, let me just finish with this thought here with Rollins, okay? Let's look at Rollins from 2009 on. I'll give you batting average, homers, steals. 250, 21, 31. 243, 8, 17 in 88 games. So it's like 15-ish homer pace and 30-ish steals. 2011, 268, 16, 30 steals. 2012, 250, 23, 30 steals. So from 2009 to 2012, you know, 250-ish batting average, but in the teens with the home runs pretty much, and 30-ish steals, which I'm sure was, you know, top seven or so at the position. Then last year, he only hit six home runs, but he did steal 22 bases. I think we saw that he only hit six home runs in 160 games. Maybe we thought he's old, he's over the hill. But he is doing this year basically exactly what he did in the previous four seasons. You know, other than you take away 2013, he's the same guy.
He just totally figured me out, Adam Azer.
Well, to me, he just did something. He just made your point on why Tulowitzki is a first-round pick, regardless of the injury concerns. Do you really want to go into a draft saying, I'll be okay with Jimmy Rollins at shortstop?
Well, if Jimmy Rollins were 5 years younger, maybe. But you never know when it's going to come to an end.
Right.
Shortstop is, I think, the trickiest position on draft day because the two best guys are so injury-prone, right?
Sure, him and Hanley. Yeah. Tulowitzki and Hanley, yeah.
I think third base is kind of the same with Beltre and Longoria and David Wright. Tricky position.
Well, this year, third base has been disappointing. I don't think any of us saw that coming where it's been atrocious. And second base has been the real surprise position, so...
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see where Desmond goes next year because that was kind of a nice safety pick this year. And I just have to wonder if people will kind of see that pattern and go much more aggressively after Desmond next year. And
Dee Gordon.
He's not going to be any kind of bargain.
Yeah,
I was about to bring up Dee Gordon.
Yeah.
Dee Gordon, if you think he can duplicate it, he's a second-round pick, right?
I won't be taking him in the second round.
Why not?
I just feel like steals are harder to depend on.
For a guy like him?
I'm not sure what kind of guy he is other than fast.
That's what I mean. I mean, he's a steals guy. I mean, if you can rely on anyone for steals, he's one of the three, the big three that's there, or in Ellsbury's maybe four.
Isn't he in the same group as Altuve now? That you can trust Altuve, right?
Is a second-round pick, though? I don't think so.
With what he's done this season? Strong consideration. And if he's that steals guy, they let him do what he wants to do. And steal, isn't that what Don Mattingly's letting Dee Gordon do?
Look, let
him go?
I thought he was, reasonable fifth, sixth-round pick.
Sure.
This year, doing what he did, and that included steals. I don't think it would be crazy to think he goes back to that next season.
No, I don't think so either. And the fact, again, we're faced with next season, second base is a deep position. I don't have to reach for Jose Altuve. So that's why I don't think he's going to be a second-round pick. But can you really blame somebody if they trust he's going to be a 40 stolen base guy and continue he hits? I mean, he may not hit for a ton of power, but he hits. So he hits and he steals bases.
I think the Astros lineup should be
better. Yeah.
Better. Good enough, at least at the top.
Yeah.
Where I think that Altuve is going to be among the league leaders in runs,
mm-hmm.
and he probably will hit for a good average like he always does, and he'll probably lead the position at steals since Gordon won't be second base eligible.
Yeah.
So I think that's three categories right there that you're getting from Jose Altuve. Like, it's not just steals. Are you going to get batting average and runs scored too, helps.
It just seems like it makes a big difference whether a guy steals 40 bases or 60.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it just... guys just don't do those back-to-back 60 steal seasons very much anymore.
Sure. All right. Yeah. And the fact that when we're looking in the first two rounds, we're looking for ace pitchers and guys who hit 30, 40 bombs a year, right? So that's why the stigma of Jose Altuve, who produces for you, just can't break into that group because you just don't look at him as one of those power bats.
And I don't know the last time I took a pitcher in the first two rounds.
You should, I mean, if you're in a spot where you can get Clayton Kershaw, I mean.
I'd take him in the second round, but.
Oh, he's a first-round pick, Clayton Kershaw, top
five. He's a first-round pick for many people, but not for me. I'm not taking him in the first round. I love my pitching strategy, and I've adopted it from Scott White, basically, where he identifies his number one ace pitchers, and he says, I want one of them, and I'm going to wait as long as it takes. And the last guy to go in that group was usually in the drafts we were doing, it looked like it was
Bumgarner, right?
It was three guys. It was Bumgarner, Sale, and Price. And I think you start your – as long as you only want one of them. I mean, if you want two aces, I know Al likes to get two. Not always, but you do sometimes.
Yeah, no, if I can.
Then you go earlier. But I don't do my pitching staff that way. So I never take Kershaw. I never get Scherzer. I don't get Darvish. I just wait for the value there. I want one of those like elite guys, and I'll wait as long as I can to get them. You don't agree?
I think Clayton Kershaw's a top five pick. I mean, you can get 30 points from him on a weekly basis. I mean, that covers the bat. You know, the first three picks are going to be, you know, Trout, Cabrera, and Goldschmidt again next year, and rightfully so. They're just, you know, very good. But at 4 or 5, if you're sitting there, Clayton Kershaw's an interesting option.
I think in a five outfielder league, I might take McCutchen over Goldschmidt. What do you guys
think? Yeah, no, McCutchen's clearly to me in the top four. So, yeah, I agree, Herc. You know, I think that discussion begins at pick five. I wouldn't take Kershaw at five. I don't know that I need to in most leagues. You know, so if I've got to, you know, pick it around eighth or ninth, I think that's where I give it some serious consideration. Because, yeah, I do think that he's far enough ahead of the field, Kershaw, to justify it.
Yeah, I'm always able to assemble a good pitching staff without going too heavy on pitching.
Sure. And I like Scott's strategy. I adapted it a lot of this year where he's like, stream two-star pitchers and, you know, don't have a deep bench for hitters, have a deep bench for pitchers, and then you just keep playing the two starts. Yeah. I like that strategy.
That's
it works.
Shallow league. You know, that's a shallow league strategy.
It's a deep league strategy, too, as long as you're not restricted.
Well, I mean, you can't do it in our 14-team league. You can't stream pitchers.
You can stream some. Not, but you can. What I'm saying is you don't have a deep hitter bench. You have a deep pitcher bench. So, like, at the end of the draft, you start stacking up on sleeper pitchers, bounce back pitchers, and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I don't think, like, in our 14-team, 30-man roster league, right? I don't see how you can.
You can't.
How you
can
not have. Well, you can't stream off waivers, but how you can not have hitters on your bench.
We're not talking about that deep. We're talking about most people play 12-team. If they do 14-team, it's 25-man rosters or something, right? No 5-man bench? Or 23, excuse me.
Depends when you talk points or roto here.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, yeah, in points leagues, which are shallower, yes. You want to stream two-star pitchers. You want to put two pitchers on your bench.
Right.
But I don't think you have to reach for them. I think you take them late. You take the high upside guys late.
Sure. I mean, this year we saw a lot of good pitchers going in round nine. And absolutely, a lot of times pitchers do slip. But I'm just making the case for Clayton Kershaw is, like you said, just head, shoulders above the rest.
I guess if I were doing a mock draft, like, I would put Kershaw, I don't know, where Al was saying. But I'm not going to be the one who takes him.
Yeah.
You know, that's just my strategy. I'm not saying it's a bad move. I don't do it.
You know, and just to clarify, because you said I like to get two aces. I mean, it's great if I can do it, but I don't really feel like I have like a go-to strategy in terms of, you know, get pitchers, you know, early, get two aces, you know, because I've done it all different ways, and it's just always a question of what's the relative drop-off in value if I wait for pitching versus if I wait for every other position. And it just normally works out, I think, because we draft with people that do – weight on pitching,
sure,
that I wind up finding probably more values at pitcher than other positions.
It's like Al has his own war. Like, you know how he ranks him, like his UZR, his war, it's the Al Melchior rating.
You know what's something interesting about Al's strategy? Never mind. I thought, Al, you had drafted two aces in the Roto League that we're in the auction.
Uh-huh.
But you only took one, Wainwright for 30. And then Salazar for 10, Minor for 10, Kazmir for 3, Tyson Ross for 1, Drew Smyly got in reserves. So, yeah, I mean, in this auction league, you went heavy on Wainwright, and that was it.
Yep.
And I went heavy on nobody. I think the most I spent on a pitcher was like $12. And you and I are in first and second place in that league. So in an auction league, I'm even less bullish on spending on starting pitchers.
Yeah, and that's a good illustration of the approach I usually take, because Minor was probably like my slotted number two guy who I thought was safe this year. But yeah, you know, I remember in a lot of drafts and auctions, you know, waiting around for Tyson Ross, waiting around for Corey Kluber and Scott Kazmir, because those are guys that, you know, there wasn't a lot of demand for at that point, and I thought could be, you know, like my number three, four guys.
Al just said, listen, look at my rankings next year, because I'm going to have a lot of good value. So I'm going to look at your rankings next year.
No pressure.
Well, that was an unexpected turn in the podcast, so let's speed it up a little bit. We'll go a little long today since we don't have a video show. Neil Walker went 2-for-4 with a home run. He's got, what, 15 home runs this year? 286, 15 homers in 86 games, and already tied his career high in home runs, which was set last year. This looks like a breakout, but I guess I would caution and say that in 2010, 296, 349, 462 slash line, and then three straight disappointing years.
Yeah, but this offseason he switched his approach, and he moved his hands. I think it was higher or something like that. Whatever he did, it's working for him. It's offseason, so if we're buying J.D. Martinez, we're buying Steve Pierce, we're buying Lucas Duda, all these guys who switch their approaches, I mean, you have to buy Neil Walker.
Walker or Prado rest of season?
I'm going Walker.
Yeah, I think I'll go Walker too.
Walker or Aaron Hill?
I'll go Hill for the power upside. I feel like this is Walker's power ceiling.
Yeah, the only thing with Hill is he's been rejuvenated since these trade talks, so it's almost like he wants to get traded, and I'm still on the fence. I mean, he was a guy last week we talked about. I was losing faith. Oh, 2 weeks ago, I was losing faith in. This could be a hot streak.
I made such a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to eat a pretzel while you were talking, and then I was like, that was the stupidest thing ever. So I just put it in my mouth, had to take it out. I apologize for that. Chris Carter.
I would have been better off not knowing that, by the way.
I'm holding it out of sight to not gross you out. Chris Carter, number four first baseman over the last 21 days in points, number two in Roto. Anyone care? 40% owned.
Nope.
He strikes out way too much.
Yeah.
And hits for low average.
Adrian Beltre, 6-for-his-last-33 with a home run. David Wright, 3-for-20 since the All-Star break. Anyone worried?
Not worried about Beltre, and also not worried about Wright, because I really just, my expectations for him this season have really dropped a lot already.
I agree. Ditto.
Rotation. Josh Beckett struggled yesterday. I know there was some concern about the hip. His velocity was fine. Check the Brooks Brothers baseball. .BET. Brooksbaseball.net. I watched a little bit, and his location was way off, but are you guys worried about Beckett?
Sure I am, because it still seems like the hip injury and the cysts and all that could be affecting his location.
Homer Bailey just...
I don't get it.
I mean, the whip was fine, the ERA was 4.50, 6 innings, 3 runs, only 3 strikeouts, and 3 homers allowed at Milwaukee.
I'm still convinced that this is like the unluckiest guy in baseball. I really know, because it's like every time that I start to doubt the stats, he turns in some good starts, and I look at the peripherals and say, yeah, they're a little off this year, but they're still pretty good. This game, same thing. No fly ball outs. 13 ground ball outs.
Wow.
So I guess he saved all the fly balls for the ones
for the stance.
Yeah.
What about the fact that he was nearly off for 2 weeks, and a lot of these guys?
Yeah.
That's yes. The managers are saying they've been off longer than they're usually off. So,
Ken Giles pitched the seventh inning, gave up a run, while Jake Diekman pitched the eighth for Philadelphia. Is there a chance Diekman could be the closer if Papelbon gets moved?
Yeah, well, there's a possibility, absolutely. But
yeah, I think Giles probably be the guy. But
can I just intervene here real quick? Check out my waiver wire column. I have a lot of guys maybe waiting in the wings as closers this week. One guy I really think fantasy owners should take a look at is Josh Fields of the Astros. You know, Chad Qualls could get traded, and Fields has been really good since, I believe, early June. He's like a 0.79 ERA. That's close. And he's not, you know what the best are? He's not walking anybody. He's got like four walks over his last like 20 appearances. striking out a lot of batters. That's a guy that could be a sleeper if Chad Qualls gets traded.
Casey Jansen, 6 hits in an inning and a third in 2 appearances since the All-Star break, and battled some illness as well. I don't know if that was a problem last night, but any concerns about Casey Jansen?
Yeah.
No, I don't have any.
No?
He's a good pitcher.
Yeah, maybe I'm overreacting a bit, but it's just, you know, it's been Cecil and Loop getting the saves lately, and yeah, maybe it's just a matter of him just getting over the bug or whatever. But
maybe tomorrow we'll look at all these deep league guys and see if any of them are worth picking up. They're owned in 16% of leagues or fewer. But let's just talk really quickly about Kyle Hendricks, who had a scoreless outing, 7 innings, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts against San Diego, which just, I mean, that lineup is so bad. It's been bad all year, but no Headley.
It just got worse.
No Headley, no Everett Cabrera. It's just a mess. Hendricks is 5% owned. Should he be owned in more leagues?
I do think a few more. I think he should be pretty much universally owned in NL-only leagues, so that alone would raise his ownership rate a bit.
And Taijuan Walker will start today against the Mets as Erasmo Ramirez is likely to be sent down after a great start last night against the Mets. James Paxton made a second rehab start and will probably make another. And we are done for the day. We're back tomorrow with more Herc and Al. I just cannot wait to eat this pretzel. So hungry. And thanks, everybody. No video show today. We'll be back with that tomorrow as well. We'll talk to you Thursday.